Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr. So if you've been a listener to Jersey Coastal Live, you know that one of my favorite categories of people to talk to is talk to musicians. So I feel very fortunate today to have a musician with me. So my guest today is Sutton Thomas, and he is a recording artist, he's a songwriter, he's a musician, he's a producer, really kind of does it all in the world of music. And recently he's had some interesting things going on with him, and one of them is that one of his songs, Melt, was featured in the soundtrack of Who's Jenna, which was a movie that recently premiered at the House of Independence in Asbury Park. So of course we're going to want to hear about that. And another event that he participated in was with author Anne Denish, who wrote a book called Waking Up, and she was actually one of my guests as well several weeks ago. And it was a very interesting collaboration. Of course, we're going to hear this all from Sutton, but Anne wrote a book, and she did a reading at Barnes & Noble, and a lot of her significant chapters Sutton took the lyrics, the words, set them to lyrics, and it was a most unusual collaboration. So we're going to have to hear a lot more about that as well. So Sutton, welcome to Jersey Coastal Live.
Thank you, Andrea. How are you doing?
I'm doing great and very appreciative of you being my guest today because, like I said, musicians are my favorite. You know, for better or for worse, you guys are terrific.
Yeah, for a little while anyway.
Yeah, well, I said creative people are a different breed.
Mm-hmm. They sure are, yeah. And I appreciate you having me on. I really do.
Well, really my pleasure. And so I always like to do with my guests, I like to find, especially a musician, I want to find out a little bit about your background and, you know, specifically, you know, what part did music play in your life when you were growing up?
Well, I've been doing this for forever, really. It's played a huge part in my life. I mean, I've been playing out like all my original music since I was probably 10 or 11 years old. So I've been doing it that long, and I just kind of jumped. I was always attracted to pianos. I couldn't pass one without plunking on those keys, you know, and I just kind of I just started writing songs at a young age, and my drummer was even younger. I was 11 years old, and I think my drummer was like 8 years old, and we played our first all-original gig.
So did you take piano lessons?
Not really. I'm for the most part, I'm self-taught. You know,
wow.
It was all just writing,
okay.
Sitting down and kind of, you know, figuring out chord structures. Later on, I took some theory and some stuff to kind of help me figure out exactly what I was doing so I knew. But it was a kind of a natural thing, you know. Just was very drawn to that instrument and to writing and being creative in general.
Are your parents creative individuals?
They're creative, yeah. No one's really musically inclined, I'll say, but my father had an extensive record collection, everything from, you know, classical, jazz to rock. He was always ahead of the trend, so he was always playing in the house, and I picked up on all those different genres and kind of subtly incorporated them into my music.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a great writer and poet as well, so I think I got a lot of my lyrical.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you remember hearing as far as music in the house when you were a kid from your dad's collection?
Well, all the old, you know, standard classical and jazz standards, you know, Miles and all the stuff like that. And of course, classical, all the Mozart, love Mozart and all that kind of stuff. And he was very big into Broadway, you know, Sondheim. I'm a big Stephen Sondheim fan. So I incorporate a lot of that kind of show tune, those aspects into my music. And then the pop stuff, you know. And then when I started to grab onto music myself, I was listening to, you know, the Beatles and Queen and Led Zeppelin and those kind of things. So it's morphed into all of that into one thing.
You've had a really, I'm going to say, a very well-rounded musical background, because you, really between show tunes and classical music and rock, jazz, wow, you really got a nice education there listening to all that music.
Yeah, I mean, it finds its way in there somehow. I mean, I'm not proficient in all of those, you know, those areas, of course, but yeah, it finds its way in there, you know, and I like that. And especially with the project that you mentioned that I'm doing with Ann Dennish. So that's allowing me to kind of explore different genres, you know, which is kind of a rare thing for an artist, you know. But on one album, I'm exploring different genres and different styles. So that's a lot of fun.
And we're gonna come back and talk more about that, actually. Definitely, we are. So you were just saying, though, that your first professional gig, or I'll just say your first gig, was when you were about 10 years old?
Yeah, I think I was 10 or 11 years old, and we played at a club down the shore here. I think it was like a lobster shanty. Did you ever hear of that place?
Yes. Holy moly.
Yeah, the lobster shanty pub. They had my drummer's father managed the place at the time.
Oh.
And we were just little kids, and we sat in with the band, and we did like maybe a 20-minute set of all originals, and you know, sounded like little chipmunks, but it definitely, you know, that bug bit us hard then, and that was it. From then on, we just honed our craft.
Well, I got to say, I think it's pretty impressive for, you know, kids, you know, 10, 11 years old or so, to have written their own music. So that's quite an accomplishment. I mean, how did you get started writing?
Like I said, you know, I don't know. It was out of my control. I just just started figuring out chord structures and melodies came and the lyrics just all fit, you know, and then
wow.
I just did it all the time. That's all I did. And I just kind of, you know, kind of figured out how to really do it, and I'm still learning. You know,
did you appreciate when you were younger that was really quite a gift that you were able to do that?
Yeah, I definitely did. I mean, I had it from doing it, you know, so it just kept pulling me back to doing it. So I couldn't really get away from it. And I realized not everybody else was doing that sort of thing. We were very fortunate to have that opportunity for sure. And the drummer,
yeah.
You know, he was an amazing drummer, a little kid, still a great drummer. And so he lived right around the corner from me, and it was made to be. We just had a band right off the bat. So.
And so as you got through high school, junior high and high school and whatnot, were you always in a band?
Yeah, I always had bands. I always had original bands. And that drummer stuck with me for the most part. And
pretty good.
Yeah, and we had, I'd say there were several incarnations of my band, but the one that kind of, the end of high school and after high school, that was doing a lot of the performances in the city and around the shore, was called the Sages Pages.
The Sages
Pages. Yeah, it was that same Tom Contreras on drums, and my friend from high school, Dean DeLeo, who went on to Stone Temple Pilots fame. He was a guitar player. And then we had another guy, Tracy White, on bass. And, we played around for quite a few number of years, and we had a good following in the area. A lot of fun. We did some pretty heavy progressive rock.
Okay, I was just going to ask you, how would you describe your musical style? Is that how you would – progressive musical rock, progressive rock?
Then I would have. I mean, I was.
Okay.
You know, we were very influenced by the bands of the time. You know, Queen and Led Zeppelin and Rush and you know all those bands. So we tended to kind of write as a band that way. And now that my songwriting has matured, and I kind of lean more toward a more intimate kind of a performance as well. There's still rock elements to it. And, you know, don't get me wrong, we rock out on stage, but I really do like that intimate kind of a thing now that I can introduce into it.
Very
so
nice.
It's matured a lot.
Now, at some point, you found your way to Nashville, and you did a lot of work down there. So tell me about that experience, how that all come to be.
Well, before I went to Nashville, I was working out of New York City. I was doing writing TV jingles and recording them in my studio. I had a home studio all through this period. So I was doing a lot of TV jingles, and I really got into that, had some success with it. And the bands were kind of, you know, not really doing so much at that point. And I just wanted to explore a different music scene, you know. So I was just going to go down there and just check it out time, but I ended up staying because it was a very cool place. Creatively, and the musicianship was just amazing. Everybody down there is just amazing. And then, you know, I set up a production company, and I was doing jingles, and I was doing a lot of sessions and things like that, and some country with artists. But you know, that was not my thing. So I wasn't writing that sort of thing. You know, they knew it. You know, that audience knows the real thing. So you can't really kind of fake on them. You know, they were like, "No, you're playing out of town chords." They call it. They knew. Nah. You're a rock guy, so, you know.
Funny.
But,
yeah,
it was a really great experience. I met a lot of good people and recorded a lot of good music down there.
So let me just backtrack for a second, because I don't want to forget to ask you this. As a TV jingle writer, can you tell me anything you did that we might know, that we'd recognize?
Well, you might know the products. I did all the, like, Liz Taylor's Passion Perfume stuff.
Oh, okay, yep.
All the Pennzoil products. We did some stuff for Sunkist and
let's see,
KinderCare.
You know,
there were a lot of big names and other companies that are big, but you wouldn't know their names. But they're, you know, they've been around a long time. But it wasn't. They weren't all, you know, your traditional jingle. There were a lot of, you know, it was singing and music, but it was more as the backup for the commercial, you know.
Right.
But we had a World Series spot, and we had some good, did some good work. It was a lot of fun. I loved doing it. It was such
you
a challenge to get everything into like 30 seconds, you know. You got to say it all, and it's awesome.
It's like a short story. You've got a lot of information you got to put out there in a very condensed amount of time. So that's pretty cool that you do that.
It's creative in that way, but you have to kind of control your creativity. You can't get too abstract because the ad agency, you know, you're selling products. You're not an artist.
Yeah, yeah.
So
absolutely.
It's a fine line. So it was a lot of fun, though, and I still do it from time to time, and it's I enjoy it.
I think you are the first musician who I've ever interviewed who has this in their resume, a jingle writer. I like that. Something different. No, I like it. Something different. Sets you apart. So while you were in Nashville, did you kind of get a renewed appreciation for country music, or were you always a little bit out of, you know, fish out of water as a rocker?
No, you know, I was never really a country guy, but, you know, songs, good songs are good songs, and I always appreciated that, and good songwriters. But there's a huge rock and jazz scene down there. Like I said, most of the country musicians that are in those bands, at night you'll see them in the clubs playing jazz and blues and everything else. So it's country is a very, very small part of that town, believe it or not.
I wouldn't have thought that, but I like the idea of musicians exploring different genres. Yeah,
these guys, you know, because it's especially for, you know, bass players, they're playing like just your usual bump, bump, bump. You know, it gets kind of boring, so they want to get out and stretch it a little bit at night, and then you know, you see what they're really about, and it's incredible. So, but yeah, I've met a lot of good guys down there, and just amazing musicians.
Now, you've been part of the music industry from various aspects, you know, whether writing, performing, you know, you've worked in the, you know, in the TV industry. Do you have a favorite thing about the industry that, or I should say, what is your favorite aspect of the music industry at this point?
You mean personally to be involved in, or?
Yeah, exactly. No, to be involved in.
Yeah, I would have to say, obviously, the songwriting and the recording of it gives me the most joy, and that's kind of the private aspect of it, you know. And then once you get into performing and airplay and that sort of thing, then you know you go to the other side, which is the sharing of what you've done. That has to be the other side of the coin, and that's when you release it and you hope that the listeners kind of gain that same emotional impact that you got when you first, you know, got the idea and you first wrote it. So I'm a songwriter first and a recording artist, and then, you know, I love to perform, but that's definitely a secondary thing. But yeah, and I like, you know, I've written a couple of musicals and things like that. So I try to explore different things and never really let it get rusty, you know. So I'm always busy. Andrea. Andrea. Andrea.